You're listening to the Feel Better Station.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Every Wednesday we're on between the hours of 7 and 8. This is, of course, now the final hooter with Dave Parkinson and Adrian Jackson.
I've got no nails left.
What do you mean?
I can't take the tension anymore. The action, as we get towards the business end of it. It's too tense. Can't take it.
You didn't say that before we started pressing the buttons here, Adrian.
Look at my nails.
I just thought that you...
Bitten them alive.
I just thought you bit your nails anyway, mate.
No. Feeling the pressure.
Don't talk pressure to Sean Wayne.
Oh,
you're
no.
likely to get a nasty reaction.
He'll thump me, won't he? He's not feeling the pressure. I watched him during that whole game. He went through the ringer, didn't he?
Oh, definitely.
My word. It'd be interesting to hear what he was saying under his breath.
I don't think it could have been broadcast, to be honest, Adrian, though.
No. It was relieved when they got the winning try, though.
It was a crackerjack try as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Liam Atautai going through the middle. I bet it's the first couple of people that he's beaten in 2 years at Wigan, that.
Oh, Hull. I think the worst thing for Hull, winning the Challenge Cup.
They seem to have gone into a perpetual sleep since then, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, everyone keeps saying, oh, well, Leeds did it last year. And Hull could possibly turn it around like Leeds did. But Leeds had more game time to turn things around, didn't they? Hull have got one game.
That's true. Yeah, there isn't much left now of this season, is there?
Not at all.
It's all heading down for, what do we call it? Field Goal Friday? Frantic Friday.
It was Frantic Friday with Wigan and Warrington as well, wasn't it? Sean Wayne, again, must have been going through the ringer.
Again, the
emotional ringer. He'd be losing weight at this rate.
Stress does strange things to people.
Another late show on Warrington. Showing a bit of an Achilles heel there, aren't they?
Hey, to be fair, though, with Wigan, I know I've criticised them a lot through the season, you know, for the way that they play and the fact that they've not been the most attacking and most aesthetically pleasing Wigan side.
Just need to get a man sent off every match.
I think they should start with 12.
Yeah.
If they start with 12 men, they can sling the ball about to the heart's content and they'll probably entertain the crowd.
They won't go into that mode, will they? They need to start with 13, get Ben Flower sent off again, and then they start throwing it around. I mean, everyone's criticised Sam Tompkins, but he had possibly his best game against Warrington.
He was a bit here, there and everywhere,
wasn't
he?
Since he's been here, anyway.
Yeah, he was.
Since he's been back.
He was linking the play up, which, you know, I know he's tried to, and he scored a smart try as well, didn't he?
He did.
Where he sort of got in. But what did you make of the Lewis Tierney thing?
What a try.
What, the one that he sent upstairs and he had his finger in touch?
Oh, a bit picky, aren't we? The effort deserved a try.
So what we're going to do, every time anybody deserves an effort or gets near the try, oh, he had a good run, give him a try.
Without a doubt. I mean, come on. If that hadn't been a TV game, we wouldn't have been talking about his fingernail scraping the touchline, would we? It'd have been given as a try.
It would.
So if you're going to start disallowing tries like that, because his fingernails just scraped a bit of the touchline off, you've got to have video referees at every match.
You know what I do? I blame that on the Warrington ground staff. They've obviously painted that line too
extra thick.
Yeah. Had they painted it thicker,
I mean,
it would have been in touch, wouldn't it?
We're in trouble as well with the sin binning for rats. For how many times do you see that tackle in a game of rugby?
See, I thought that was harsh, that. I thought the sin binning was harsh. I've no qualms about the sending off.
The sending off
was a filthy act.
I know a few people have said he was very unlucky to have been sent off, but come on, what are you watching?
Raises
the elbow. He could have pulled out of it. He just picked the elbow up and stuck it right in his throat. Have that, young lad.
Yeah, to be fair to Declan Hume, he bounced straight back up, didn't he? Declan Patton, wasn't it? It's Declan Patton,
it is
not Declan Hume.
Declan Hume is playing his trade for Workington, isn't he?
I know, I got myself mixed up. But you see, I've been covering Championship rugby all season.
Oh,
mate.
Listen, you're just on a roller coaster of a ride high, aren't you? Let's get it in right now.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be talking about it anyway, aren't we? You get the gist. This is, of course, the final hooter. This is the LoveRugbyLeague.com podcast.
Got to thank our friends at Radio General for letting us use the studio as always.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, sparkling studio it is.
Because if we don't mention the lockers out for the next one,
they'll change the locks on us.
Yeah.
It'll mean that we won't be able to get back in again.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. Should we leave it open to the listener to decide?
Our listener. What do you think, Kathy? Anyway, you're the rugby league expert, apparently. I'm the amateur, you're the pro.
Oh, yes. I got a little tweet, didn't I, the other week? Which
yeah,
was
one of your
of
many fans.
This. Yeah.
I'm the amateur, you're the pro.
I didn't realise you had any fans. That's the whole point, though. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. Maybe it's because we talked over the intro of the last podcast.
Well, I'm maybe sounding amateur, you sounded a pro.
It must be the lead tones. Maybe the people like the lead tones, eh?
Maybe that's what it is. But let's get the lady in question in to ask her about her rugby league knowledge.
To explain?
Yeah.
Set her a few questions, see what she can answer.
A rugby league test. General knowledge test.
I think you've hit on a bit of a guide of what we might be able to do next season, Adrian.
Yeah, rugby league general knowledge test.
We'll just be dragging anybody in. Come on, answer a few questions, rugby league. Super League, when did it start?
When are your Twitter followers?
Does it have to be my Twitter followers?
Yeah, I haven't got any.
Have you not?
I noticed you got over 2,500. I'm impressed with that.
Yeah, it's going pretty well. But I've got
103, I think.
You're doing well. You was on 80 last time we looked.
Wow.
See, maybe they like those amateur tones. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, let's move away from all that, shall we? Let's talk 1996, the first year of Super League, 20 years ago. Can't believe we're still here.
It's going like Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band, isn't it?
Yeah. Plenty of rule changes back then. We're doing it again now 20 years later with Super 8.
Ah, well, they brought in the video replays, didn't they, for Super League when it first launched?
Yes.
What else? There was, at the time, I seem to remember that if you scored, you got the ball back again.
Yeah, you got the ball back. I didn't like that rule.
Yeah.
Just like I don't like the free play rule.
Oh, will you move on? We've been discussing free plays for the last two years.
It's just rugby league. It just seems to change its mind on how to play the game.
Listen, Widnes scored off a free play at the weekend, didn't they?
I still don't like it.
Oh, that's not what you were saying when you were jumping up and down in your seat.
Don't like it. Get rid of it.
So, anyway, back to 1996. What happened?
Not a lot. St. Helens won it.
Oh, they were a great side.
No
back
playoffs
in the day.
Back in them days as well. You finished top, you got the main trophy.
Hang on, that'll never catch on. You finish top of a league and they give you a trophy.
Yeah, you're the champions.
Oh, no, it's no wonder that they changed it. It's no wonder they changed it.
Listen, don't say that in Toulouse. They're fizzing because they lost out to Rochdale. I know Rochdale are happy.
Yeah.
Because they've actually beaten Toulouse to get promoted, but Toulouse finishing top. Yeah.
It's a bit of a contentious one, really, isn't it? But we'll come to that game a little
bit later.
Let's talk
1996. Let's talk 1996. St. Helens won the league to become the champions, only lost twice all season.
Oh, I bet that's a trivia question. Who did they lose to? Does it say that in your notes?
No.
Oh,
didn't look that
far. See, we needed to do a bit more research, didn't we?
At bottom of the pile were Workington. Only won two games. Paris Saint-Germain this particular year finished second bottom. They only won three of the, get this, 22 games.
22 games. Well, we're only on 23 games for a league campaign, aren't we? It's only because of the
Super 8s
that we get another seven games tagged on.
So you have an extended season, cup competitions, playoffs, 30-odd matches, isn't it?
And?
Players are moaning it's too many games.
What are you complaining about? It wasn't too many games back in 1990.
If Jamie Peacock was playing for Leeds, he'd have been saying 22 games.
I wonder what he would have been saying, Jamie Peacock.
But he was at Bradford back in them days, anyway.
Yeah, but I wonder, well, he hadn't even made his first team debut by that stage.
Hadn't he?
No, it was a couple of seasons later when Jamie Peacock came on the scene. He'd actually been farmed out to Featherstone on loan, first of all, because he didn't think he was going to make it, and then he had a great spell there.
He's proved everybody wrong, and he still fears he's got the ability to make a comeback for Hull Kingston Rovers. Whether it's worked for them, we'll see.
Yeah,
over the next couple of matches.
Seems to be having a bit of an influence though. But players like Jamie Peacock, they would have been complaining, wouldn't they, back in the day, 1991. Do you remember Wigan playing, was it 18 games in like 30 days or something like that.
Yeah.
Or 12 games in 30 days. It was a hell of a run towards the end of that season.
So, like I said, St. Helens were top, Workington were bottom. The top eight for the chance to go to Old Trafford for the Premiership trophy, not the Grand Final, Premiership trophy. At St. Helens, Wigan, Bradford Bulls, London Broncos.
They had a great season, yeah.
At Warrington Wolves, fifth. Halifax, sixth. Sheffield, seventh. Oldham Birds, eighth. Who'd have thought, 20 years later, Sheffield Eagles are fighting for their survival again.
Yeah, and Oldham, rather,
after a finish like that.
And Oldham, rather than playing at the Watershed Inns, as they did back in that season, would be out
they were at the football ground by then.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are they not?
No, they were at Boundary Park.
I'm sure that came a little bit later, you know. I'm sure that they started Super League.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
We're going to have to get these record books out again.
Leeds Rhinos finished 10th. They must have been bad in 1996.
Well, to be fair, where did they finish this season?
It was bad, man. 12th.
So there you go. They had a better year of the first year of the Super League than they did this season.
All right, let's give you the dream team and all the nominations are going to be revealed by the RFL after we recorded this podcast. Let's give you the 1996 dream team, shall we? Gary Connolly was fullback. Jason Robinson was on the wing alongside Anthony Sullivan. Centres were Paul Newlove. What a great player he was. Viaga, have I said that right?
Viaga?
It's not Viaga, is it? You say it.
How do you spell it?
You say it. I struggle with the name Frank.
Viaga Tuigamala.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
How did you not pronounce that one?
Halfbacks Henry Paul and Bobby Goulding. In the park, up front, Apollo Perolini, Kieran Cunningham was playing back in them days, alongside Terry O'Connor, back row, Peter Gill, there's a name from the past.
He had a great season that year for London Broncos.
Paul Sculthorpe was still playing for Warrington, he made second row, alongside Andrew Farrell, who was loose forward.
Anthony Farrell,
he's probably good enough as well to have been there, Anthony Farrell.
You gave him a big boost.
Joe.
Was he playing for Keighley at the time?
Anthony Farrell, no, he'd been at Leeds, wouldn't he?
Nah, he was at Keighley around about that stage, and then he went to Leeds after that. '99 when they started taking all the best players off him.
Andy Farrell was Man of Steel. Player of the Year is Robbie Paul. Young Player of the Year, Kieran Cunningham.
Wow.
Coach of the Year, Sean McCrae.
We are only going back 20 years here.
We are going back 20 years. Rugby League Writers Association Player of the Year is Apollo Perolini. Lancashire Trophy winner, Robbie Paul, despite Bradford Bulls losing.
You had to bring that one up, didn't you?
Yeah.
You had to bring it up.
Nathan Graham, the fullback, still traumatised by that game, I'm telling you.
Does he still wake up in the middle of
the night? He probably does. He's seen those bombs coming down from
Bobby
Goulding.
Dropping rugby balls.
Yeah.
He dreams of dropped rugby balls.
And in the Premiership final, awarded the Harry Sunderland Trophy was Andy Farrell.
Did they play against Leeds?
St Helens.
St Helens, right, okay.
Did Leeds make any of the finals that year? I don't think so.
No, I don't think they
did.
It was a real below par year. Similar to this year, really, to be fair.
I mean, hard to believe, right, back in that year, both Humberside clubs were not in Super League. They were in the second division alongside the likes of Widnes Vikings.
Yeah, I remember reading about that, actually, and the fact that the Humberside Derby, as it was, in this year, got the records for most attended games outside the top division. I think there was about
no surprises there.
I think there were 14,000 at the Boulevard at the time.
Clubs that were there that are no longer with us within the world of rugby league, Carlisle, are in the memory bank, aren't they? Chorley are no longer there.
Does he actually give us...
Highfield are not there. York Rydale are not York Rydale anymore. Might not even be going if it carries on the way they're looking.
Does it give a rundown of the actual rest of the leagues?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, see, you're just reading a Super League thing.
Yeah, Bramley. Anyway, they're also still knocking around the world of rugby. I thought they went well before then.
Anyway, I'm quite glad, to be honest, he didn't list the rest of it, because I think Lee finished 7th in the second division at that stage.
Yeah.
It was a poor season.
We're just talking 20 years of Super League, man. Not League, World Championship and Division 3.
You brought the clubs up.
Just clubs that are no longer around. I was surprised to see Bramley still knocking around the Carlisle. I thought they'd well gone by.
Nah, there was another couple of years left.
All right, okay.
Another couple of years left.
Before Morris decided, you don't fit the strategy of the game anymore. I can imagine you said that.
Just locked him in a room and said, get out.
Get out, go.
Get out, go. Walk out the door. Don't turn around now because you're not welcome anymore.
We don't want small town teams in our sport. We want big city clubs.
And look at Super League now. Castleford Tigers doing pretty well, 5th. Yeah.
Widnes made the playoffs.
Widnes. Small town.
Small towns.
Yeah, they had big ideas. They actually thought they'd be playing in places like Milan and Barcelona, didn't they?
They thought it was going to be barbecues. Have you ever been to a ground where they're doing a barbecue?
I have.
In 20 years of Super League, I haven't.
I have.
Where?
I have. But I'm not convinced it was a barbecue. I think it was a fire which had got out of hand. And a couple of people just decided to chuck, slithers of bacon on and that type of stuff.
Okay.
I've
never been to a ground where they're doing barbecues.
Okay. You need to get out to your local amateur club.
Did you barbecues that?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going.
Right.
Burgers are on then. Maybe a hot dog.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
always good to look back on 1996, but let's flash forward 20 years to 2016, shall we?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've got two rounds to look at, haven't we, of all the action that's happened. But I think I want to pull rank here, Adrian.
Okay.
I want to talk Lee.
Oh, do we have to?
We do. They got promoted into Super League, man.
Oh, go on, then we'll let you do it. We've got the lobbies out so we can celebrate.
Well, this is what I'd brought into the studio, mate.
Oh,
There's no...
smelling lovely.
There's no carrots in it, though. It's not
it's all right.
It's not a proper lobby if it's got carrots in it.
Oh, okay. You've got the proper one, then.
Certainly.
It looks tasty.
Yeah.
Looking forward to having a little nibble of that.
In fact, save it for tomorrow. It's even better the day after.
Oh, is that what they say, Randley?
That's like our podcast. It's always better the day after.
I won't go that far. Yeah, look forward to having a little taste of a lobby. Have I said it right? Lobby?
You have.
Oh, lobby.
What's the lobby?
Is it a lobby?
It makes you sound like you're from Bradford or somewhere when you do that.
All right, okay.
That's not a Lee accent.
Well, I thought it was.
See, I thought you, working alongside me all these years, you would have adopted something of a Lee accent by this stage.
No, not to be.
No, you know, it's not happening. It's not happening, is it?
Right, hurry up before I eat this lobby.
Right, okay, so, Super 8s, the qualifiers.
That's where the real action is, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah, and Lee's done it. They've managed to usurp the system.
Yes, finally.
They won. Well, they've now won 6 on the bounce, but at this stage they'd won 5. And this was the one which did it for them, beating Huddersfield Giants. What a game. 48 points to 40.
Wow. Cruising at half time.
42-10 up.
And then you're thinking, put the cues on the rack, Brian Noble saying, you put your feet up, and all of a sudden Huddersfield come roaring back into it because they're fighting for their lives themselves.
Yeah.
They're not exactly safe. And then they really made a game of it.
Well, Rick Stone really criticised Huddersfield after their first half showing.
Yeah.
He said that they did everything wrong that you can potentially do on a rugby league field in the first 20 minutes. And he's right. They knocked on, they passed it forward, they kicked the ball out on the full from the hand, they kicked it out on the full from the kickoff. They just invited Lee to come at them. And Lee made it look like a training run. Matty Dawson scores a hat-trick in the first half. As you said, 42-10 up at half-time. It was some fight back, which made for a nervous time for about 5,000 Lathers in the crowd.
I'm sure Neil Jukes was going for the ring error as well.
Definitely, yeah. And talking of Neil Jukes, we're going to hear from him right now.
Just brilliant. I think, you know, people say, you know, you can start planning all that, but what we've got to do is stay strong with the team and never forget, you know, this group of players, this backroom staff, the board and Derek and all that. And got to make sure that you know we're continuing working hard in what we're doing. You know, he knows he's crazy, isn't it? He'd have said after 5 games we was going to be done and not even need going to a million-pound game. Who knows, we can go on and win it. That's really ridiculous, isn't it?
That first half was something special as well, wasn't it, Neil?
Said to the guys in all week, and my last words before they went out was, if you've been here for 5 minutes or 5 games, 15 years, it had to be your best game in the Lee Centurion shirt. And from 1 to 17, they did. Second half, the momentum, like I said, was always going to change, but what we got in second half was the gutsiest performance they've ever had, and that's what it needed. It needed, and to put 40 odd points on Huddersfield at half time was electric, absolutely electric. It was on the money. Defence looked very good, and we did enough in that first half to win the game. Simple as that.
Obviously relieved we got through that one, and after last year's disappointment, getting the job done.
Yeah, I think the club has learned. What they've done is they've changed their style of play. Obviously, they had the upset at the start of the season with Paul Rowley deciding to leave after so long in charge. But really, that seems to have shaken Lee up. And, you know, they gave the job to Neil Jukes. At the time when he got it, I don't think even he knew whether he'd have it by the end of the year. But I tell you what, he's done something only one other previous Lee coach has managed. And that's get the club into Super League.
I'm surprised he wasn't named Championship Coach of the Year. I'm not taking anything away about the King John Kay. No, fully deserved for him, but I thought Neil Jukes might have got the nod.
I think Neil, what he's done is he's probably fit about 5 years worth of experience into one season because of all the comings and goings over the course of the year at Lee. But I'm a big fan of John Keir, to be honest. I think he is a fantastic coach, and you know the way that he is, he's been working on a shoestring budget there at Batley. I think he said
he hasn't got the riches of Lee, put it that way.
Well, he said in one commentary, I think, that he did, that his budget was somewhere in the region of £150,000 to £200,000. Now, when you're looking at Lee's budget, which is £1.6 million or whatever it was, you know, this season, there's a huge gap between them, and yet on the field there wasn't that much come the end of the year, was there?
Big question, can London Broncos gate crash it as well?
Well, I mean, certainly they...
give themselves a chance, haven't they, having beaten Salford last time round?
Yeah, it was a great result that as well. I mean, Jamie Soward, who they brought over from Australia, absolutely instrumental in that game. He scores a try, he kicks a couple of goals. William Bartow as well, the French international, was also very, very good. He scored an intercept try. And I know that Ian Watson totally criticised his side. He said it just wasn't acceptable, that performance. But for me, Salford have come into this eights undercooked. They've been shell-shocked. As soon as Lee managed to beat them, they haven't really raised the game apart from playing against Featherstone last week.
I think because of the outspoken owner that they've got in Mr. Kukash, I think everyone's willing Salford to not make it.
He's been a bit quiet, though, the last few weeks, hasn't he? You know, and there is that whole question mark about whether he's stopping. I hope, for Salford's sake, he does stop, because I think rugby league in this country needs its characters. You know, you've got one at Lee in Derek Beaumont, who, as he say on occasion, you've got one in Marwan Kukash, who he opens his mouth and it's half a page or a page in a newspaper. And I feel you don't get that, do you, from, like, Gary Hedrick.
But some of the stuff he says, some of the stuff he talks, might as well bring one of his horses out. That'll probably talk more sense.
Ooh, harsh. Harsh.
I'm joking.
You wouldn't say that if he was in this studio.
I wouldn't. I would say, is he going to win the 230 at Doncaster?
I'm sure he'd be, you know, really, really happy at giving you tips when you've just criticised him.
But I've got a feeling rugby league fans in general are hoping Salford slip through the relegation door. Best thing they can hope for is £1 million game, but, and here's the but, they're going to have to get past either Huddersfield or Hawkinson Rovers if they're going to achieve that. So one of them's going.
Yeah.
Who is it?
And I like the fact that I think Hull Kingston Rovers marketing this coming weekend's game as scrambling Saturday.
Okay.
To get away. You know, so
the big one against Huddersfield.
Or Survival Saturday. I think Survival Saturday. I've seen scrambling, but
yeah,
I've also seen Survival as well. I think Survival works a little bit better, to be fair. Oh, I tell you what, here's where we need to get Jamie Peacock on the phone and find out what his thoughts
are. What's going on in Hull Kingston Rovers' mind, yeah.
Yeah. I think Hull Kingston Rovers will stay up. I think that they'll beat Huddersfield, to be honest, because Huddersfield look a little bit paper-thin defensively, although they had that great result against Leeds, didn't they?
Ryan, they did, give them a fighting chance, doesn't it? As for Salford, they know they're going to win Batley.
Yeah, and that's not going to be any walk in the park, is it, going to Batley?
Not at all.
Because as we've already talked about, John Keir, top coach, championship coach of the year, usually has his side running through brick walls for him, and, well, they know that ground from back to front, don't they?
I know they went down 30-odd nil to Leeds Rhinos the match before, but they gave Leeds a hell of a fight.
Oh, they did. They had the whole South Stand clapping their appreciation, to be fair, and it was really, really good from Batley, as they had the North Stand from Lee Centurions also clapping them as well at the weekend. They're a very skillful side, and they actually shot Lee early on with a lovely work try down the left. So I'm looking forward to seeing the highlights of that particular game against Salford. And you know, it's not going to be easy for Salford, that, and maybe London fancy the chances now. They're taking on Featherstone.
Yeah, after that big win against Salford, they will be fancying the chances of turning over Featherstone Rovers, who have had, to be fair, a learning curve in the qualifying eights, and they've really found that they're going tough. But for them, I've watched a bit of them during the qualifiers, fantastic in the first half, but they put that much effort into it and they're not pacing themselves. They're absolutely shot at in the second half. That's when the other team seem to run away with it.
Yeah, I think they've also had a few injury problems as well within the camp, because they have had like 6, 7, 8 players missing. This is why they had to bolster the ranks with getting players on loan from Leeds Rhinos. But, you know, they give a good account of themselves, and John Sharp has already said how much of an influence this is having on his squad, and he's looking forward to them really getting stuck into the pre-season training. See, this season's not ended and he's already talking about next year.
Exactly. I said the situation is Salford have got to win, London have got to lose. That's not right. If Salford win, doesn't matter what the Broncos do, Salford will be safe.
That's
for the million pound game.
They'll be
least
in that £1 million game, won't they? Yeah, they'll secure that £1 million game.
But a defeat and London win, and it's possible it could happen, it's Salford straight relegation.
Yeah, and I bet there's a few clubs that are looking at their players thinking, ooh, who can we pick off
here?
Who
can we pick off from them?
Because they have got a decent... When you look at it, the roster's half decent. They've got some good players there at Salford, but for some reason it's just not happened for them, has it? Interesting stuff anyway. I noticed that Leeds, they could win a trophy this season after all.
All right, oh, what's that?
Yeah, the Rugby League have the two clubs, Lee and Leeds, have introduced the Bev Risman Trophy that they're going to be playing for. Because Bev Risman, son of the great Gus Risman, of course, one of the old Rugby League immortals.
Yeah.
He played for both clubs. Now, this has been paid for and provided by Sky Sports. So do you reckon that they looked at it and thought, well, maybe Leeds have to win a trophy?
They need
this
to win a trophy at least. Yeah.
But I think it's a nice one. But I always wonder, when you're in this situation, and okay, we're playing and it's not league games, is it? You're playing qualifiers. There should be a trophy at the end of it.
Well, we've got playoffs for a playoff. I mean, look at that one with the Shield. You've got Bradford, who might win it, getting the Shield for being, what, 17th best team?
Yeah, yeah, it's a strange one, really. And to be honest, Bradford have found some of the best form this season in this competition. Yeah. They beat Sheffield 80-0 at the weekend.
80-0, my word.
I saw a match report which said that Moss got everywhere. Now, I just thought he was just describing Oddsall, that match report, to be fair.
That is everywhere.
Because it is everywhere, isn't it? Especially on the embankment. Especially on the embankment. But they've got Kieran Moss, of course, the Australian fullback who has been in great form for them. For Sheffield, they're going through the ringer at the moment. We don't know at this stage whether they're going to survive, although there has been talks made in between.
It'd be a shame if they do disappear.
An investor. They have got an investor waiting in the wings, but it's whether he's going to come forward, whether he can communicate with the council now, I think.
Because what they are, I mean, for me, the RFL need to pull out all the stops to maintain Rugby League in Sheffield, don't they? They offer a lot for the game in the Sheffield area in terms of community and raising the focus of the game in South Yorkshire. And they won the Challenge Cup. So just that history alone, that stat alone, should make the RFL and everyone sit up and say, listen, we've got to save this club.
They seem too interested in, getting extra clubs going in France, don't they?
And Canada.
Maybe Canada. And yeah. I don't want to sound xenophobic, to be honest, because I'm actually looking forward to Toulouse expanding as the years go on, maybe in this competition.
Listen, with an M62 sport, get on with it. I just said it.
Jackson has spoken.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Now, I know I made a comment about the sport of rugby league being an M62 sport. Come on, what am I kidding myself? It's an A53 sport as well.
An A53 sport?
I just made that one up. Yeah, down south.
Down south, man.
Around the Oxford area, I think it is.
Yeah, yeah. And Hemel.
And Hemel.
Don't forget Hemel.
Oh, no, they could be going up the M62, man.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about
expansion.
That. I've heard about that. Mm. Linking with Dewsbury, taking best practices. What do you make of all that?
That's all right about. What is all that about?
It's a strange one, but in a way I can play devil's advocate there, and I can understand the conundrum, because everything's not gone quite to plan this season yet for Toulouse in that competition.
No.
They've got Toronto on the way.
Yes.
They must be looking at their squad thinking, well, you know, we're getting a lot of these young lads coming in from the southern counties. They've not had a go at this level of rugby league before. We need to get them a bit better prepared, a bit more battle-hardened.
Well, isn't that the idea of the League One division when it was set up, to help these expansion clubs promote the game using local lads, rather than going, you know, let's take the easy option, we'll relocate to Dewsbury and we'll tap into all those northern based players.
But it's also, I suppose, if you like, developing those players as well, isn't it? I know the Hemel people don't like it.
I don't blame them.
There's already been over 800 on signatures which have signed against it.
Well, that's a record crowd for them then.
Whoa.
In fact, you've only got about 300 the match.
In fact, to be honest, yeah, maybe those people need to turn up for a couple of matches, actually. Might help them out. You know.
Just sign a piece of paper.
Jackson has spoken again. Does this regularly.
Let's move away from qualifying, Nate, shall we? Talk Super 8. What a game that was between Warrington and Wigan.
Absolutely fantastic.
Game of the season.
Oh, it had everything, didn't it? Good defence, bad defence. Great attack.
It's just a shame half of the country didn't watch it. They were watching Liverpool versus Chelsea, as a friend of mine found out.
Hang on, my granddad used to have a saying, if football was being played outside his window, he'd shut the curtains. So I'm hoping more people would do that, to be honest.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine, 40 goals local, to watch the game, and all it was football. 16 televisions, football in every one of them. So in the end, he got one at the end of the bar to show the rugby, and he had to just watch it in silence.
Oh, it sounds like he's just been, you know, shoved in a corner and
this
just
is
left
in Widnes,
alone.
By the way, the so-called rugby league town.
Wow, wow. Man, it is half a football town as well, isn't it?
It is these days.
Yeah, it seems to be. It seems to be getting worse.
Yeah.
Have a word.
I'll have to. But back to the action anyway. We can look down and out. Warrington, for me, thought they had the game won when Benflower was sent off, and he seemed to go into a mode of, let's try and stick with what we've got, and then they went against everything they were doing up to that point.
Yeah, I think Tony Smith said something similar.
It just started being a bit loose on the line, Wigan to win the ruck, and their defensive, their attacking line was breaking the first line of defence all the time, and that's what worried me. And also, that's a worry as well. It's not never a good thing. It's like a bad omen now, isn't it?
Okay.
Where the camera has a close-up of the league leader's shoe, and they think the team that's going to win it has got a winning lead.
And then you
have the comedy moment like they did at St. Helens last year where they're putting it back in the box.
I tell you what, that guy is a great job. You never see him the rest of the year, do you? But he comes out with that little box with the hubcap in.
Oh, God, yeah.
Opens it up, presents it to the cameras, and then it's like, look at what you could have won. Close the case, and off he walked down the corridor again.
Now, I know Sean Wayne would have been happy that his charges finally got over the finishing line, but my word, he was going through the ringer.
Oh, he was. There were certain points where I think if he could have got on the field himself, he would have done. He would have taken a couple of drives. He would have pointed a few people in the right direction. He would have kicked the goals.
He'd been kicking everything, wouldn't he?
I wouldn't have liked to have been sitting in front of him, to be honest. It would have been rather a noisy experience.
At least he never threw any water bottles around.
No. That's happened in the past.
It has.
I've been on the end of a couple of water bottles in the World of Rugby League.
Anyway, brave enough to go head-to-head with him. I'm sure it would have been a lot easier because Wigan won. Our man Steve Manning, and he caught up with him.
Well, Sean, 57 minutes gone, down to 12, 2018-14 down, and you come in at the end.
Yeah, lots of character there, Stephen. Loads of desire, a lot of players who want to win games, and a lot of players hurt by what's been said, and a lot of belief within the team.
I mean, I sum it up, not as a coach, but I thought you had the first 30, they had the second, and then you finished it off in the final quarter when really you shouldn't have done, in theory.
Yeah, we should never have done. We should have been gassed when, you know, with the penalty count in the second half, at the first quarter of that game, they put us under immense pressure. So to bounce back and show that character at the end was fantastic. Anthony Gellin's not trained all week. He's not even done team run yesterday. Now, I would never normally pick him. Not doing team runs. It's the first time I've ever done it, and he turned up with a performance like that.
I wonder if Manning would have interviewed him if Wigan would have got beat.
He'll have had his tin hat at the ready. No, to be fair to Steve, he interviews people no matter what, doesn't he?
He does, he's not scared.
Does a tremendous job for us. So
he's braver than me and you. Me and you wouldn't have interviewed him if Wigan would have got beat.
Oh, I don't know. I would like to. It's only because I don't go to as many rugby league matches as Steve, you see.
Yeah. So cheers for that, Steve. He's our golfer when they get away
there.
Quickly.
Or when we're not there.
Listen, it was Friday night. It was 20 past 10. I wanted to get away.
You'd seen a pint with your name on it somewhere.
Coca-Cola, yeah.
Oh, have you given up now?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. The look that he's just giving me, folks.
Yeah, plenty of people saying these TV games now, they're finishing too late.
I think there's a point there, to be honest, though.
Do you think they should have the video referee on, like, a timer?
You got
30 seconds to make your decision, because to be honest with you, with the incident regarding Lewis Turner, it felt like ages.
It was probably about 4 or 5 minutes, to be honest, you know, when we were sat there watching it, and I still don't think it were a try.
Oh, you're being too picky again, aren't you? Listen, it doesn't matter whether his fingernail just broke the touchline, it was a try for me. I'm still trying to work out who's with the best try, Charnley's or Turner's.
Charnley's, because it was a proper try.
He never broke the touchdown. Wow.
It were a
with
proper
his
try. What a great game. We could argue until cows come home about what we thought of certain tries, but the character that Wigan showed in that game was remarkable, really.
They did it the week before against Hull, though, didn't they?
They did, yeah. I mean,
Sean, are you feeling the pressure?
He's definitely not feeling the pressure now, is he?
He's in a great position.
Definitely, and he's in that situation as well where he can maybe sit back and relax a little bit this weekend. Well,
yeah, not
things
taking
are, done elsewhere.
Yeah, not taking anything away from Castellans, but the men from the south of France have been on holiday since the start of the Super 8s, haven't they, really? Since the new top four have gone, they've been on a downward spiral ever since. He can take it easy, knowing, and St. Helens can, they play Wakefield. And if Kieran Cunningham wants to, he can rest. I mean, give James Robey a week off.
He deserves it.
You know, he can give Amor a week off.
He deserves it.
Big Al can have a week off.
Nah.
But all of them can have a week off. Play the academy, and then they know they're only going to go fourth, and then they can go and play a battered and bruised whole old Warrington who are going to absolutely flatten each other to try and avoid slipping out the top two.
I've just got one little fly to dip in your ointment there.
What's
mate,
that?
And that's that they're not going to be playing any academy lads. They've got a big grand final against Wigan at under 19s.
Oh, right, okay, that's
on
an
the
idea,
Sunday.
The way.
So they're not going to risk too many. But you're right, with maybe some of the fringe players. There was talk of Mark Percival coming back. Who I know that you rate Mark, don't you?
Yeah.
That's not what you said in rehearsal. You went a bit further than that.
I actually think Matt Pearson was probably, for me, and I'm sure Saints fans will agree, best centre in Super League at the minute.
I think on his day, you know, and he's
developed. I'll be surprised if Wayne Bennett don't pick him for the Four Nations.
Well, he needs to actually prove his fitness again, doesn't he? I mean, I'd be hoping that Johnny Lomax can maybe push his way through for selection as well. Maybe we'll see more of Johnny this weekend.
Speaking of St. Helens, they're in good shape as well in terms of performance. It's hard to believe. I was one of them. 6-7 weeks ago, no chance of St. Helens making the top four, but no one foreseen Catalans just fall apart like they have done. And St. Helens have gone on a run that's seen them win 10 of the last 11 games.
It's a brilliant run, isn't it? And while they maybe lack some of the panache that previous St. Helens sides have had, and they don't score that many tries from distance, give or take whether Adam Swift is on the field, that is.
Mm.
They've developed the game in other ways, haven't they? So they can win in a scrappy fashion. They can win when the chips are down. They all put the effort in, and you know they're just a club with a great culture, to be honest, aren't they?
Yeah, if they do get to Old Trafford and win it, some of them Saints fans that were calling for Kieran's head, they're going to be eating humble pie, aren't they?
Humble pie, indeed.
Enjoying the match at Widnes on Sunday was Big Al. Let's hear from him right now, shall we?
Alex Warmsey's game's go. It wasn't a classic, but it's a win for the Saints.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. You know, it was certainly a day of coming here and getting the job done, and we've done that. Probably one of the prettiest games to watch on the sidelines, but, you know, it was another decent defensive performance, so we'll take that, you know, we'll keep on rolling.
A great start as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, probably best start we've had in a while. You know, I think his completion in the first 20 minutes really stood out, and I think that's why we had a good, decent foothold in the game. As soon as his completion went down, you know, Widnes came back into it. But, you know, credit to the boys. Defensively, you know, it was really good. You know, we really turned up for each other.
Obviously, you must have been disappointed then with the start you had in the first half, not so got more points on the board by half-time.
Oh, no, I disagree. I think Widnes are a very good side, and, you know, had a few results gone a few different ways. I'm sure they'd have been challenging for top four, but... You know, they're a good side, so, you know, we weren't too bothered about getting points on the board. I'm sure, you know, the main thing was putting them in bad positions and, you know, exploiting that. So, yeah, you know, it was all about his individual performance rather than the result.
Individually for yourself, how do you feel you went then?
Yeah, happy enough, you know. Again, it's more about the team than myself, really. You know, what as long as, you know, the team's playing well, I'm happy with that. You know, we were certainly playing for each other rather than individually. I think, you know, six months ago, we might, you know, a lot of people were playing individually rather than as a team effort, and, you know, we've certainly changed that around. So, you know, we're playing, you know, going in the same direction, which is the main thing.
10 wins from 11 suggests you are heading in the right direction.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we're in a decent bit of form at the minute. Results have gone our way, and, you know, that's going to be important going into the playoffs. So, you know, we've got one more game now to certainly, you know, to fine-tune a few things before we head into that semi-final. So, yeah, we won't be resting on those levels. We know we're in a decent bit of run, but there's no point having a decent bit of run to fall in the first step in the playoffs.
You mentioned the final game. It is Wakefield. How does the Saints attack this one?
Listen, we can't underestimate Wakey. Obviously, they've, you know, they're doing it tough at the minute in terms of results and personnel, you know, missing. So. But, listen, you know, you saw on Thursday night against Hull. You know, they're not here to take part. They want to finish with a bang. And I'm sure they'll be there Friday looking to spoil this, you know, spoil our decent run. So we won't be taking them lightly. We'll certainly address them with the respect they deserve, and I'm sure we'll put in a good performance, and hopefully we'll take that, you know, going on into the playoffs.
Just one question about the playoffs. Where would you prefer to go, Warrington or Hull?
You know, it's obviously going to be one of those two boys. You know, we're pretty much smattered in fourth, so you know, we'll take either. You know, you've got to beat every team to win this thing, so. Whether it's Warrington or Hull, you know, we're going to have to go away, and that's fine. You know, we've But, you know, they've both beat us this year, but we've both beat them as well. We've beat them both. So, you know, whichever we need to go, you know, I'm sure, you know, we're confident of going, you know, to either of those. And as long as we turn up with a decent game plan and mentality, I'm sure we'll go all right.
Alex Walmsley, what a player.
Oh, he had a great game. Never stopped taking
what
the ball.
What a signing
in,
he's been for St. Helens.
Bargain bucket signing, wasn't he?
From Batley.
See, that's more like a Yorkshire accent, mate.
He was practicing.
He was trying to do that as a Lee accent before. But I think it sounds more Yorkshire. You're taking me on now. I'm liking this. But yeah, great signing, Alex Walmsley. Surely should be in the mix for England selection come the end of the year.
Yeah, him and his sidekick, Carl Amore.
Amore has been a revelation this season. He's played far more minutes and, you know, always has an impact. Always seems to beat the first man, doesn't he? And gets a quick play the ball too.
I know a lot of fans are not impressed with him, but the self-proclaimed governor of St. Helens, he's a great player. I like his character.
We're talking Louis McCarthy's book here, are we? And does he call himself the governor because it sounds more menacing when you do it in a London accent?
Yeah, probably.
The governor.
Probably.
He's one of the governors.
That's where he is. He's a self-proclaimed governor of St. Helens.
Okay. And at the weekend, he did a stint at centre as well, didn't he?
He did,
and did a pretty good job.
Not scared to throw his hand in, is he?
No, he's got a nice offload game about him. It probably wouldn't go down as our favourite game of the season.
Oh,
that
it was
one.
An awful second half.
Between
the only good bits were the last 2 minutes.
The big brawl.
We like the brawl. Bit of biff. Come on, let's have it.
To be fair, six and whatever thousand people, they seem to enjoy it as well.
I mean, Kevin Brown was throwing more punches than anything. He was in a boxing ring.
Definitely. Talking about boxing and knockout blows being applied, here's where we should mention a big well done to Rochdale Hornets beating Toulouse 24-22.
Nobody gave him a chance, man.
Nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Give him a chance. But Alan Killer Kilshaw had the plan.
He did.
That mattered.
He did. Now, it didn't all go to plan initially, you know, Adrian, because Toulouse led 16 points to nil after about 20 minutes, scored three early tries, but Rochdale Hornets, they turned it round. Jack Holmes, Lewis Galbraith, former Warrington man Chris Riley and Dave Cookson scored the tries with Paul Crook kicking four goals. What a sign these turned into for Rochdale Hornets.
Record breaker, or is it record equaling player?
Record equaling player, yeah. He's now equaled the record for most points in a career by a Rochdale Hornets player.
Now, we know Rochdale's more famous for Gracie Fields. Got the statue, haven't they?
Yep.
Should have a statue of the picture of John O. Smith with his nose. Make a statue of that. That'd be good. Sporting the claret on the picture that he put up on social media after that game.
To be fair, though, what a player and what a sign he's turned into for Rochdale Hornets. He is one of the lower league's shining lights, isn't he?
Yeah.
One other game.
One of our favourites.
Yeah, certainly. One other game and another final to tell you about. Newcastle Thunder have won a bit of silverware, defeating North Wales Crusaders 31 points to 26. There was a couple of tries there for Peter Fox. He's still doing the job for them.
Peter Fox still loving the game of rugby league.
Yeah,
good to see that.
Ex-England winger, played for Hull, Kingston Rovers and Wakefield, didn't he, I think?
Only disappointing thing about that final, it was a farewell from Anthony Murray as head coach of North Wales.
What a great job he's done.
Start. And secondly, the attendance, that was played after the dark side played the same afternoon. In their game, there were 6,500, but only an estimate 300 watched the rugby league.
Yeah, terrible attendance. I'm hoping that they can kick on, though, Newcastle Thunder. And, you know, they've certainly got a couple of decent players. Tom Rudiger is one of them who should be able to help get the crowd in. But well done to them in any case.
Now, hopefully this victory and a bit of silverware for them will increase the awareness of rugby league and get them to kick on now, because we always get into, since the Magic weekend went to Newcastle, Geordies are mad for rugby league. Well, 300 for a game suggests maybe they're not.
And especially seeing as that was a final as well, and all, there's more awareness that needs to be done there, so they need to get the thinking caps on, I think.
As for Crusaders, well done for finishing the season, because no one thought you'd make it.
Very well done. That's just about us, done and dusted for this particular edition, but thanks for joining us.